Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to post-NXT show on Fightful, I guess. Everything sucks. I mean, NXT was great. Congratulations to Swerve Scott. But my heart and soul, my boy, my little brother, my Giannis, he's done. He's injured. The way he came down on that knee, that's it for the playoffs, at least. So, hey, you know, I guess there's always next year. And all I can do is put on a brave face and talk about NXT. So, yeah, please get in your super chats to talk about NXT. It was a good one. It was a good night. Really great opening match. Really great unexpected title match to close out the show. There's intrigue. We've got lots of matches set up for next week at the Great American Bash. I'd like to bash my own head in with this aluminum water bottle to take away the pain in my heart. But other than that, I'm doing great. Let's talk about NXT. Please drop a like. It would make me personally happy on a night when I'm unimaginably sad. It would make me happy if you'd smash the like button, then subscribe to Fightful, tap the bell for notifications, send a super chat, and I'll read it on the air. Maybe that'll perk me up. And then also subscribe to Fightful Select, where you can see more of me later tonight talking about Raw from last night. So the intangible one, Cliff Beard, gets us starting off. He says, Scott winning is cool. Sucks that Bronson only had a short run, but now I want to see a faction feud between Hit Row and El Fantasma. Yeah, that faction feud could get a lot of really great bangers in there. Could be a lot of fun. And we know that Santos and Swerve could put on great matches. With both factions being, I think, unarguably bad guys, I would wonder what they would do to tell the story between those two factions, but I can't deny the matches. They would be amazing. All right. Okay. I'm sorry. I feel like a family member has died. So yeah, it's not often that you got to go live on air to do your job, talk about one of your passions while your other passion is somewhere else in the dirty South collapsing before your eyes. It's not often, but we're going to muddle through it. So let's do it. That rhymed. We're going to muddle through it. So let's do it. They start us off with the triple threat for the women's tag team number one contendership. Raquel and Dakota Kai versus Ember and Shotzi versus Io and Zoe. Right off the bat, I was very happy. There were a lot of things that happened earlier in the night that made me very happy. And then something happened later that made me very sad. Not with NXT. That was all good. Just the other stuff. I'll stop talking about it. There was a triple threat tag match where one member of every team was in the ring at the same time. So there was a constant triple threat going. I hate tag team triple threats where only two members are legal at any one time. And then it becomes a game of, let's see how we can book this match so this person can wind up in the wrong corner and get tagged out by another team. I think that's a really great way of killing all momentum of a match. And thankfully, this didn't do that. I was very pleased to see that. Also pleased to see that every woman in the match showed out, did some great stuff. Thought it was really good. I think that all 60 women are really super talented. And it's crazy to me, like, how Shotzi's only really been used a lot for like a year. Maybe a year and a half. Like, she wasn't a huge fixture on the show pre-pandemic. And yet she seems like a fixture compared to Zoe Stark, who's been around for like 6 minutes. And yet these six women feel like absolute, mainstays of this women's division, which is so good. And we don't even get to talk about in this match also, somebody like Candice, somebody like Toni Storm, and the new Saray, all these people who were at least mentioned, if not were seen on this episode. But this women's division is just so stacked. So when it looks like perhaps Shotzi is getting a little dark match that she got to do in front of the higher-ups on SmackDown, maybe Shotzi's getting called up. She's definitely got a very unique look, a very outlandish gimmick. I think she could do well being dragged down to the main roster. So good for her. But I don't like they breaking up Ember and Shotzi to do it, because I think that team has a lot of potential. But I also feel like I don't want Ember anywhere near the main roster. We've seen that. We've seen what they do to her. Don't need to see it again. So if they have to break them up, I'm glad Ember's the one who's sticking it out. And I thought that the moment before the commercial where they all get to do high flying stuff, capped by Stark running up, jumping onto the turnbuckle, and then using it to springboard to the outside, that was great. I thought it was the ending. Kind of confused me, because there was a moment that I feel like didn't happen the way they planned it. Io does her moonsault ostensibly on Dakota, but Raquel has covered Dakota. In doing that, she kind of does her moonsault onto Raquel, who is saving Dakota from the moonsault. And then she's kind of like picking up Raquel by her jaw, like pulling her up by her face. And then she gets interrupted and just lets go. And Raquel, because of the way the match is laid out, has to just like lay back down again. And we saw earlier in the match, like, she was going in there by herself against all of them. Like, I'm sure Sean Ross Sapp was very pleased to see that the Tower of Doom did not actually happen, because Raquel walked in there and said, all five of you bitches are going down one at a time, including my own teammate. Not on purpose, just, you know, because she's there and I might get distracted. So her being like, oh, I better lay back down now so I can take this senton from Shotzi. I don't know what was supposed to happen, but I feel like there's got to be a way for them to improv through it and find another thing to do, because that just didn't look right for Raquel to do that. But he did the senton from Shotzi, then what they call now, I guess, the KO 360, which is that awesome spinny thing that Zoe Stark does to a knee lift to the jaw, which is awesome. And then a couple other big moves. And then we get Io doing her moonsault to Dakota. Raquel can't get back in time. And Io and Zoe win the match. That's good. I mean, I feel like Raquel and Dakota, I don't need to see the double gold for Raquel. There's the reason you have these extra titles in NXT is to have more women get over, more women be put in a top spot. So double gold is never necessary. And if you're going to call up Shotzi and Ember, then putting him back in the tag team title scene, not necessary. Also, Shotzi and Ember versus Candace and Indy again is not something I need to see when there are other possibilities. So Io and Zoe up against Indy and Candace, when Candace and Io have that history that they reference later in a backstage segment, I think it's the right choice. And I get to see more Zoe Stark. I love Zoe Stark. I don't know what they're going to do to, like, give her a character. Because right now, I'm totally fine with, I'm super happy to be here. I'm the most athletic thing you've ever seen. Just look at me. I look like I'm carved out of granite. Watch this amazing shit I can do. I think that's fine for a bit. And then you got to actually do something with her character. Not sure what they're going to do in that case. So, yeah, Io and Zoe versus Candace and Indy next week on The Bash. The Nerd Guru says, NXT is still back, baby! I love Hit Row, and I'm glad Swerve won, but you just know to Vince, Bronson is Australian Otis. That women's match, though. Correct, Guru? That women's match, though. And Bronson and Otis, listen, I think he certainly could be pinholed in that way. Pinholed. Sure. That's a word. But it's, I think there's a place for him. I really do. I don't think they're going to use him this way because then nobody ever does what I want. But I think there's a place for him to be part of a Roman's entourage. I think it'd be awesome if he had a literal heavy to hang around behind him and look vaguely Samoan. I know he's not, but to Vince, is he? Sure. I mean, they brought in Piper Niven and made her Dewdrop and tried to make believe that nobody had ever seen NXT UK take over Blackpool. So maybe they'll just bring up Bronson Reed and change his name to, maybe he'll be the long lost Uso brother. Would you put it past Vince? Because I wouldn't. Oh, hey, have you met our cousin Jerry? Yeah, it's Jimmy and Jay and our cousin Jerry Uso. Bronson Reed to debut on SmackDown as Jerry Uso. You heard it here first. It's not actually going to happen. But could it? Could. It sure could. Thank you, Ricardo. A small pick-me-up. For you, I appreciate that. Nothing's gonna lift my spirits that high tonight. If I still drank, I'd drink myself to sleep, but I don't, thankfully. So, Joseph Kirai says, weekly reminder that Hit Row doesn't miss. Bronson throwing Top Dollar through the glass was incredible. Yeah, man. The thing that I'm going to, if they're not going to bring up Bronson like right away, I think his final match in NXT should be one-on-one, him versus Top Dollar. He should put over Top Dollar huge. Because I think that would be an amazing rub to give that guy. He's a guy who could use it. And I want to see it. Big meaty men slapping meat. Let's do it. Justin Lopez says that he knows that I must be seizing with the Bucks debacle, but hey, Swerve is the champion. Yeah. I want to say something. Before the Giannis injury, I was fine with it. As soon as they announced, as a Bucks fan, as soon as they announced that Trae Young wasn't going to play tonight, I was like, chalk that up, Bucks loss. The Bucks do not play well when they're supposed to win. When they are supposed to win, they play like crap. When everybody's like, oh, easy win for the Bucks. No, they play like crap. It's when their backs are against the wall, sometimes they decide, let's dig deep and play a good game. As soon as it became, well, it's the Hawks without Trae Young, easy win for the Bucks. I was like, no. They're losing this game. I just didn't think they were going to lose Giannis too. But okay. Hey, they're going to bring back the breakout tournament, which is great. Here's who I want to see in the finals. They haven't announced anybody who's going to be in the show in the tournament. I don't know who's going to be in it. Here's who I hope are the two finalists. I would make sure these two guys were in it, and I'd make them the finalists. Tyler Rust from the Diamond Mine and Carmelo Hayes. I think Carmelo Hayes is special. And making him the babyface to go through the tournament with a bunch of really hard victories, and Tyler Rust going through and just really hurting people because he's got Diamond Mine all over him. And we'll talk more about Roddy Strong, the first match of him as a Diamond Mine member. It appears they enjoy inflicting pain. They're basically Cobra Kai. They're the Cobra Kai of NXT. Sweep the leg. I feel like they're going to... I think Tyler Rust, like, trying to injure people through the entire thing, then it becomes Tyler Rust of the Diamond Mine versus Carmelo Hayes. I think that would be an awesome way to do the breakout tournament. Because they mentioned the 2019 tournament featured Angel Garza, Dexter Lumis, Boa was in it, Cameron Grimes, Joaquin Wilde, Swerve Scott, and Bronson Reed. It also featured a guy named Jordan Miles, but I can't remember whatever happened with that guy. Like, I feel like I remember him winning the tournament, and then I don't remember what happened. I mean, I do, but I'd rather not talk about it. So, yeah. There's the thing where Cross and Scarlett are walking in, and then Johnny Gargano attacks him. And then the security breaks it up, and Cross is like, oh, that's how you want to do it, Johnny? Okay. All right, that's how we're going to do it. Turns out Cross on the main roster just looks like a regular guy. His main event match versus Shelton was like boring as hell. So can't wait for that guy to get a huge push on the main roster too. So they're interviewing Bronson Reed, asking, hey, what about the breakout tournament? So that happened, was good for you. Is it going to be good? He's like, whatever. He says, I wouldn't be champion if it wasn't for the breakout tournament. But he didn't become champion until 2 years after the tournament. So, meh. Hit Row shows up. And they taunt him, and they basically say, you know what? Why don't you put your title on the line versus me? And Bronson Reed says, sure. I'll face you tonight for the title. That didn't turn out too well for Bronson Reed. But that was a match that was not advertised. We got that tonight, which to me feels like that's a Vince's calling up Reed immediately thing. So we'll see. Like, I wouldn't mind if Reed showed up on Friday and won a qualifying match to be in the Money in the Bank. Let's get more new faces in the Money in the Bank. Let's do that. I don't think he needs to win it. We saw last year how a momentarily Vince favorite fat guy winning the Money in the Bank briefcase. We saw how that happened, how that goes over last year. I don't know if we want to see it again this year. So Cross comes out to the ring. I'm going to dare Johnny Gargano to face me. Let's see how you do it when I can see you. See the shot coming. See the shot coming. That's right. And Gargano says, hey, you dare me? You dare me? Well, here I am. He comes out. I'm not afraid. You know who the hell I am? You jumped me from behind last week, and you can't take it this week, for I'm going to beat you at your own game. He says, I don't have a sword. I don't know what that means. Is he talking about Drew McIntyre? Cross doesn't have a sword. You may be bigger, but everybody knows that I'm smarter. And to prove it, I've got my flunky to sneak up behind you when you're not looking. Strategery. So Austin Theory attacks him from behind. But they try and double team him, but Cross fights him off. Hits a huge suplex on Gargano. He's smashing him up. Ends up, he picks up the steel steps. He's going to smash him on Gargano's head. But then security intervenes, and Gargano and Theory sneak out past the scorer's table. And then some of Joe's out there with security, and Cross is like, real nice ship you're running here, Joe. So Cross and Scarlett come to the back, and Scarlett's like, oh, you'll pay for that. A battery charger teaser goes from 60 to 61. Then later it goes from 70 to 71. And later it goes from 80 to 81. So it looks like next week, battery charger thing will be revealed. I mean, we can assume, because next week it'll be 90 to 91 and then 99 to 100. Who knows who it'll be? It'll want to be interesting.
Yeah.
So, right. So, then we see Johnny Gargano and Austin Theory jump in a car and leave. Ha ha ha! We got him. We're so sneaky, is basically what they said. Roderick Strong has a match versus Asher Hale. Bivens is out there. Tyler Rust, Hideki Suzuki. They're not calling him Hideki Suzuki, though, as far as I can tell. They mention him being the wild card, and they call him something that I couldn't place on commentary. They call Hideki Suzuki something else. They say he's an amazing coach and trainer. So maybe that's his role. Maybe he's not an in-ring guy. Maybe the in-ring guys they have in the Diamond Mine are Strong, and then Rust is like the junior guy. And then you have the trainer is Hideki Suzuki, and the manager, the guy who talks, is Malcolm Bivens. I could be fine with that. I could be fine with that. Asher Hale gets in some offense, but this is a Roderick Strong showcase. He has a huge backbreaker and a big jumping knee, and then he does this brutal-looking submission. And as soon as Hale taps out, he grabs the hand that's tapping out and, like, forces it into an arm bar. So I just think the Diamond Mind is just they want to make diamonds by crushing your bones and hoping your bones are made of coal. And if they crush the bones hard enough, your coal bones, then they'll make diamonds. That seems to be the way the Diamond Mind works. I don't see a lot of pickaxes. I don't see a lot of mining equipment. I think that somebody along the line has misinformed them that human bones are made of coal, and if you crush them hard enough, you'll get a diamond. That's my initial reading of this faction. I love Roderick Strong as absolute Terminator. They mention him, like, well, last we saw of him, he was a little out of sorts. This is Wade Barrett saying it. So, last we saw of him, he was a little out of sorts. Looks like he was quite to quit the business. Yeah, it's a good point. Are we going to get anything about that, or are we just going to move on past it? Because after, I thought we were going to hear from the Diamond Mine. And all we heard from them was Malcolm Bivens after the match saying, we are the Diamond Mine, and it's just beginning. Like, well, yeah, no shit. It's your first match. Of course, it's just beginning. Can we hear more about how this faction was formed? Like, I get the Malcolm Bivens and Tyler Rust connection. Those two guys were a thing the last time we saw them. But how did Roderick Strong get involved? Where did you pick up Hideki Suzuki or whatever the hell you're calling him? Like, Roderick Strong went wearing a suit, went into Regal's office and handed over signed paperwork. His retirement papers were turned in to the league. You can't just rescind those. You got to, like, have a lawyer drop some shit. Like, what happened, Roddy? Why the change of heart? Listen, I'm glad you're back. But I need to know how you got from I'm retiring, this whole thing. Like, Adam's not my friend anymore. And Kyle O'Reilly's not my friend anymore. And Bobby Fish is rehabbing a triceps injury. And who knows when he'll be back. So I guess I better retire because I've got nothing else to do. How do you go from that to I've buzzed all my hair and I've dropped a bunch of weight. I'm like down 14% body fat to like 2%. And I'm just going to knee dudes in the face and rip their arms off while wearing a tracksuit. How did you get there? I just want to know the steps. I'm a sucker for storytelling. What can I say?
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, Cameron Grimes versus Ari Sterling. This was set up last week when Ari Sterling talked shit about DiBiase, and you don't get to do that in front of Cameron Grimes, apparently. Now they have a match. And Sterling turns in some really cool moves. He like does a thing where he runs at the ropes, jumps, turns backwards, and like half sits on the top rope, half springboards off the bottom rope while facing into the ring, and uses that to launch himself into a moonsault to the outside. It's like some I've never seen that. I've never seen that. This is a reference to the movie The Burbs, starring Tom Hanks. I've never seen anybody drive their garbage out to the curb and then bang the hell out of it with a stick. I've never seen that. And I've also never seen that kind of moonsault. It's a great movie, The Burbs, great movie. He does this running shooting star press, but he does a twist in there, so he lands it as a senton. And he just does it, and they barely even mention it. Like, it's something who would think to do that? Like, he does a running shooting star press, and while doing it, he twists, so he lands on his own back instead of on his front. That's wacky. He gets a two count out of it, you know, like it. But I mean, eventually, I'm not a wrestling coach, but if I were, I would say if you have a match with Cameron Grimes, never run at him. I know you may think he's not ready, but refrain from running at him, whatever you do, because if you do, he's gonna jump up and hit his finisher on you. If you don't run at him, he can't do the cave into you while you're standing still. So don't run at him. Sterling runs at him, so he gets caved in. So Cameron Grimes gets a win. That's good. We needed to see him get a victory. He had only been losing pretty much up until that match, the Million Dollar Belt ladder match. And then he lost that. So it's good to see him get a win moving on. So LA Knight gets to come out and talk some shit. So he starts on his promo about how, oh, I see you're a natural born loser. Yeah. And then the fans are like, you suck. You suck. I mean, it's real fans. So I guess they're actually saying it. But yeah, he says, there are a bunch of incels. But then Grimes says, I agree with these guys. You suck. Why don't you face me for that belt next week? And then LA Knight is a very old school smarmy heel. So you want to face me next week for this belt? You want to do that? Okay, all right. No, we're not. Because you get the fans all riled up thinking they're going to see something awesome, and then you take it away from them. I mean, it's all very, very cut and dry. You know, we know what this is. As soon as he was like, "You want to face me for this? You do? Okay, no." Like, yeah, we know what's going on. But then he says, "All right, though, I'll agree to your little challenge. If you beat me next week, and you're not gonna, you get this belt. But if you lose, and lose you most certainly will, if you lose, you have to be my butler," he says, because he lost his sunglasses, couldn't find them. His cars didn't get properly detailed. When you make a match like this, title on the line, or completely wacky thing with all kinds of hijinks attached, bet on the hijinks. Bet on the content. Cameron Grimes having to dress up as a butler and do all kinds of scrubbing LA Knight's toilet with a toothbrush or whatever the fuck he's going to make him do. You can record all that shit and dine out on it for weeks. I think eventually Cameron Grimes will hold that belt, but not now. Maybe at the SummerSlam-ish, around that time, that takeover. Maybe that's when you do it. But as soon as the stipulation was, if you lose, you have to be my butler. Well, Cameron Grimes is losing that match, if only because there's all kinds of content you can get out of it. But Grimes, of course, doesn't know that. So he says, yes, I accept. So Mackenzie interviews Io Shirai and Zoe Stark. And then Candice and Indy interrupt. It's like, Stark, you should know that Io is a really sore loser. And Shirai says, you can't beat me. So there you go. DeLeo says the Cole versus O'Reilly promo was a little hard to invest in. Felt like more of the same, I guess. It was. It seems like we're trying to tell the story again, and we're not changing too much. But we think we can get away with telling the story the same way. You're not worthy of being in the same ring with me, even though you beat me the last time. Man, I just want to get out. I just want to get away from you. Maybe if I beat you this time, you'll leave me alone. Not the same. Not the same, I will say. But I did appreciate that when he, anyway, O'Reilly says, hey, you know, come on out, Cole, and Cole comes out. But as soon as he does, Samoa Joe comes out, says, hold up. I just want to make sure there's no extracurriculars, so I'm going to stand here in the middle of the ring and have you guys talk to each other while I'm here just in case anything happens. So, of course, something does happen. They come to blows. There's one point was weird. I'm the real star here. The whole world knows it. The locker room knows it. You know it. Joe knows it. And even your wife knows it. And Kyle's like, don't you ever mention my wife again. And I was like, oh, hey, that's something. I mean, it's old stupid bullshit, but it's something different. So that's better than the same old bullshit. But I wanted Kyle to be like, well, your wife is a terrible dentist. I went to her to get a crown replaced and she totally botched up the job. He didn't say that though. So they face off and get in between. Joe gets in between them, and then Cole acts like he's going to want to wait. He takes a swing. Joe has to duck to avoid being hit. And Kyle takes Cole down immediately. Kyle and Cole. That's going to be tough. Kyle and Cole takes him down in a heel hook. And he's yelling. Adam Cole is yelling for Joe to get him off me. And Joe just stands there, watches it, then calmly gets out of the ring and walks up to about where the ramp starts, looks back, and then he's like, begrudgingly, he's like, okay, guys, you can come down here and break him up. So Joe versus Pete Dunne is a thing that's been hinted at for a while. Not tonight, but plenty of times in the past. Joe versus Cross. Joe versus Adam Cole. If Samoa Joe gets cleared to wrestle, he's got quite a dance card that's very full. Um, There's a weird backstage promo from Tian Sha. They go their match in a bit. Rob Reed says, get in your super chats, guys. And I'll read them on the air and talk about them. He says he's been a big fan of Swerve since he was Killshot. Tonight was amazing. Rob, I agree. It was amazing. I said it. I would base the whole damn show around Hit Row. We're inching closer to that. There's a really cool backstage promo with Hit Row where they're getting them hyped up for tonight's title shot. I thought it was a really very efficient use of like 40 seconds. So we get Xia Li and Boa versus Jake Atlas and Mercedes Martinez. It's a mixed tag match. I don't like mixed tag matches because they're very fast and loose with the whole men versus men, women versus women. As long as the women get the offense in on the men, it's totally fine. I mean, you guys are inching closer. You can just do it. Just have a match. Just let them have a match. And I'm not talking about like James Ellsworth versus Becky Lynch. Like, let them have a match. Let them go. These girls can handle themselves. Mercedes Martinez can handle herself, except, well, tonight, they do her and Jake do a nifty little double team move on Boa, and then remember Jake Atlas is on the offensive end of that double team move, and then he rolls out of the ring like he was, I don't know, knocked unconscious. I probably shouldn't use that term in a joking way because Mercedes is distracted by a pin spot that appears on Mei Ying, the 1,000-year-old dragon lady. And then she gets out of the ring and is attacked from behind by Xia Li. And then they get back in the ring. And a few moves later, Xia Li hits her spinning back heel kick and shoot KOs Mercedes Martinez. Like, she drops and her arms go like this, which if you've ever watched an NFL quarterback get knocked the fuck out, always their arms just like seize up. When that happened, and she was so seized up that she had curled herself in. So that was supposed to be the finish. But her shoulder was up because she was curled around herself. So the ref couldn't call the three because her shoulder was very obviously up. But she had to say, no, there's no pin, but then checked on Mercedes and then called the match. Like, if Mercedes had just... That was creepy looking. I really hope she's okay. Because they did not show her again after the match was called, but they showed the video a few times. And considering it was a shoot knockout, like, I didn't need to see the video over and over and over again, you know? I hope Mercedes is okay. I think that was obviously going to be the finish, but I think that kick landed a little too flush. The Nerd Guru says, and if you want to see your shot coming, go to Blue Chew and use code FIGHTFUL. Alex, you rule, and we use call down / drag down on the NXT post shows. You're right. I'm still a little out of sorts, but thank you, Nerd Guru. Thank you for reminding me. Anyway, Bronson Reed's warming up backstage, and then we get a face-off, a tag team face-off. So Ciampa and Thatcher come out. One thing that I love, there's a little detail. Thatcher is wearing Dickies brand work pants. Brand new. Which is just it's a very odd choice for his I think it's very much in character. that's his casual street clothes look is brand new navy blue Dickies work pants. So they sit on their steel chairs in the middle of the ring, and then MSK come out. It says the only difference, quoting Men in Black. Ciampa says the only difference here is that we make this look good. This being sitting on steel chairs. So the champions in next week's match are the underdogs. Toothless Timmy over here. He's never held gold. He's hungry. He's a man of few words. But look at him. He's motivated. And then Thatcher goes. So Tommy says that there's not a man alive who elevates his title like I do. So MSK wants to interrupt, but Thatcher's like, show the man some respect. Well, then both of them are standing up. And then Carter says, well, we got respect for you, but you got to show us respect. We're the titles. You put some respect on our name. So there's a slap from MSK, and then they're Thatcher is kind of trying to get at them, but Tommy like half-heartedly holds him back. And then I do love this. He stands up right next to Nash's face, Nash Carter's face, and he's talking very softly in the microphone. He's like, "Hey, you got a freebie this week, kid. But next week you're not gonna be so lucky. Just remember that." And then he kisses Nash Carter on the cheek, and Nash Carter doesn't do shit because he knows. He knows you do not step into Ciampa. Ciampa's theme music, the refrain that begins it is, "No one will survive." So yeah, if a man's theme is about like killing everybody, I wouldn't want to like piss that guy off. So I understand why he didn't. Mackenzie Mitchell is interviewing General William Regal. He seems very chipper tonight. So they talk about all things that happened on the American Bash. And then talk about the breakout tournament. Then Saray interrupts, and I swear to you, I was like, they're never going to do this. But my first thought was this. When they were talking about the breakout tournament, and then Saray interrupted, and I was like, put her in the breakout tournament. Put Saray in the breakout tournament and have her win the damn thing. They'd never do it. They'd never do it. So he says, "I would like a match, please, against somebody like Toni Storm." And then Regal's like, "Thank you very much, Saray. I will take your recommendation under advisement." And that's it. So Saray versus Toni Storm. 2 weeks? Sure. So then Karrion Kross and Scarlett are getting into a car.
Hey, Karrion Kross, would you care to comment on what's going on with Johnny Gargano?
And Karrion Kross doesn't even respond, because I'm pretty sure they added that sound in post. I don't know where Austin Theory and Johnny Gargano drove off to. Did they go to like Burger King? Or that's Matt Riddle. Did they go to Sonic? Get one of those slushies? I hear those are really good around this time of year. Sonic slushies. They were just going for a little treat, little dessert ski. And then they came back and they happened to see Karrion Kross again, and they decided to attack him. So Austin attacks from the front, which is never a good idea. He gets dropped. Jericho attacks from behind. He beats him down from behind, then slams the car door on him a couple of times. And I guess he thought that was it. Because he gets up and starts mouthing off to the camera, and then we can see Kross get up from behind him and attack him from behind, choke him out, dropping him in the middle of the parking lot, and then he drops Theory from behind, hits him with his stupid forearm to the back of the head, knocks him into the garage thing. And then Scarlett says something to Kross, and what she says is... It has to be. I didn't hear it. But what she says, it has to be something like, let's murder Johnny Gargano. Because Kross looks over at where Johnny Gargano is, smiles at her, and then gets in the car and then backs it up a little bit. And then he revs it up and then he peels out and drives forward. He was going to run over Johnny Gargano's unconscious body and murder him. So the idea that I keep pitching, that I keep referencing with their stupid entrance of Kross and Scarlett look like they're in a terrible community theater production of Macbeth seems right. Like she's telling her husband to commit murder. And he's like, yeah, good idea, honey. Anyway, as he drives forward, the camera looks, and it looks as though Samoa Joseph, has pulled Johnny Gargano up so he's not under the wheels of the car. And he's looking off at Kross right away like, I'm disappointed. The NXT parking lot is dangerous. Never, ever go out there. Never. It's terrible. So he says to Johnny, maybe you pushed him too far this time. And he's dragging him inside. There's no title match for Great America. There's no NXT title match for Great American Bash that's been announced. Like, if Johnny is going to face Karrion, it's not going to be next week. At least they haven't announced it yet. So here we go. Swerve Scott versus Bronson Reed. These guys work well together. If Bronson is getting called up, dragged down, immediately. That's too bad. I think a prolonged feud between these two guys could have been great, because I think they work really well together. I think that Scott, like, one thing that Wade Barrett said that made a lot of sense that I'd love to see, like, brought up more, is obviously Scott has been training with Top Dollar, so he's been figuring out what moves work on a much larger man. I thought that was a really brilliant piece of analysis. Like, I got a guy in my faction who's huge. Let me spar with him and see what moves I do that work on a dude his size. I think that's a really cool wrinkle in the character development. I don't know if that's canon, but I love that Barrett dropped it in there as though it was. Because he's doing a bunch of stuff. He's like, okay, if I can get him in this particular kind of, arm bar while he's standing up, I can, like, kick his off leg and smack him in the ribs and trying to get, you know, make sure he can't get out of it. I like the way that they work together. And I love that Bronson Reed's like, you can't hurt me with this stuff. Just keeps shoving him back, like toying with him. Right before the commercial, Swerve goes for a, he leaps over. Bronson is on the apron. Swerve leaps over the ropes to try and do a sunset flip bomb to the outside. And Bronson's like, I'm too heavy for that. And then just like a, he just does a sit out on his chest on the apron. Jesus. The way his spine was curved around the apron edge while having a 330-pound man sitting on his sternum. It looked great. Swerve has control when you get back from the break. It's a good match. It's a really good match. The big thing that he does, and then of course, while this match was going on, my world was crumbling because that's when Giannis got hurt. The big thing that happens now is that Reed is going to do his big tsunami. Oh, no. I just realized, you guys. If Bronson Reed gets dragged down to the main roster, we're never going to hear Wade Barrett ever call tsunami ever again. And that's like almost as depressing as the fact that my boy, my sweet baby boy, Giannis, has hurt his knee. But anyway, he's going for the tsunami. And then everybody starts distracting the ref. They use... Their nerd guru says he's hoping that McAfee can pick up the tsunami call from Wade Barrett. I would love to hear Pittsburgh ass Pat McAfee, who pronounces SmackDown. I would love to hear him try and do a Wade Barrett accent. I think that would be hilarious. So Top Dollar tracks the referee. So Adonis is able to shove Reed off the top down to the floor. So then Adonis and B-Fab are trying to distract the referee. Top Dollar charges Reed, Bronson Reed. And he sidesteps him and shoves him over the barricade through the plexiglass to the outside, and then Adonis walks over. He's like, dude, you all right? Are you okay? Why are you okay? And he's not okay. Neither is Adonis because Bronson Reed gets to throw him over the barricade too. And then Reed comes back in the head, back in the ring, excuse me. And Swerve does his what's that called? He's got a name for it. It's escaping me. His jumping like back kick thing that he does, which is awesome. Kicks him in the head, so he leaves him laid out over the bottom rope with half of his body in the ring. So Swerve does a 450. And then rolls him into the ring, gets the pin, 1, 2, 3. And there you go. That's it. That may have been the culmination of Bronson Reed's career. In NXT. The next time we see him may be on House Call. Thank you, Sean Davis. Thank you. The House Call. That's what. Whose house is it? Swerve's house. It's a House Call kick. So, this would be my thing going forward. MSK somehow retains versus Tommy and Timmy. I love Tommy and Timmy. I want them to be tag champs, but I also want this more. MSK retains, and then Top Dollar and Adonis get the next shot, and Top Dollar and Adonis win the tag titles so that... so that we got lots of gold in Hit Row. All right, guys, that was it for NXT. Next week, Great American Bash should be a lot of fun, a lot of great matches, and we'll talk then. Meanwhile, I'm gonna go and check and see what happened in the rest of that Bucks game, which can't have been good. And I'm gonna cry myself to sleep. I mean, I'm gonna talk about Raw here at some point later tonight, but maybe not for a while, depending on how I feel. But thanks, everybody. Thank you for subscribe to Fightful. If you haven't, go to Fightful Select. It's the best value in wrestling paid media. The lady's name is B-Fab Brianna Brandy, Donald Smith. She's great, too. I want to see her get some matches because she's a wrestler. So let's see what she could do in the ring. Maybe she could be the women's champion. I don't know. Down the road, who knows? Put all the gold in Hit Row. Yes, let's have them change all the gold in the belts to platinum, and then Hit Row can go platinum. I just said platinum. Thank you for tuning in to Fightful's post show. I've been Alex Pulowski. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Sour Graps. NXT was pretty good tonight, but my baby boy, my special boy Giannis, everything's...
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.